Still surprised that John Bostic of the Washington football team is not going to be facing a suspension. He's got a past history. If I'm the Cowboys, I would like to be suspended for the whole season. From yesterday in the NFL, Matt, here's a quick question. We're trying to time this perfectly with the head coach, Scott Frost, to talk. Would you rather be chased down by DK Metcalf or try and stop Derrick Henry?
Chased down by DK, honestly, though.
You don't want to try and stop Derrick Henry?
I would like to lay a hit on him. Don't get me wrong, but chances are, knowing my frame, knowing my size, I just bounce right off.
That is true. I was projecting you as a good size running back or a good size middle linebacker, not in your current state, which you would be crushed in half and we would worry about.
And I'd probably be in the hospital 5 to 6 weeks, more than likely.
That'd be generous if you were there 5 to 6 weeks.
Probably.
That's Matt Stein. He's in for George the next couple of days. George is back home celebrating his birthday. Brendan Hymus is being interviewed today. He's one of the players that has appeared on the Zoom Monday. Said the gap between Nebraska and Wisconsin has closed in part because of the run game the last 2 years. Nebraska's been able to run the football. Wisconsin, first game they played Illinois. Illinois forgot to show up. That was a bad football team that Lovie Smith brought to Madison. But outside of Graham Mertz playing pitch and catch, 20 of 21 for 248 and 5 scores, where it was a nearly perfect game in his debut. And all they did is they essentially stretched Illinois wide, and he was able to hit passes. Illinois just, they presented no challenge defensively. I think Wisconsin's got a quarterback. You know what, Jack Cohn was serviceable, but when we say Wisconsin has a quarterback, we say, do they have a Russell Wilson? Or do they have somebody that is a nice little game manager? That is not Joel Stave, that is better than Stave or Hornibrook. Jack Cohen last year was good enough. Graham Mertz may be good enough and a little bit more. But what to take out of Wisconsin's running game the first week? Nakia Watson, their starting running back, was not a, whoa, there's the next Jonathan Taylor. Their two top running backs carried the ball 48 times for 168 yards. As a team, again, against a Illinois defense that had four new defensive linemen, Wisconsin ran the ball 54 times for 182 yards. You do the quick math. That is about 3.4 yards per carry. I'll go even more here on why I'm wondering what happened to the Wisconsin run game the first game of the year. You can say that they wanted to throw the ball because Graham Mertz was in a rhythm. Okay, but Wisconsin can't be one-dimensional and just be a throwing team. That's not Wisconsin. Wisconsin against Illinois, 29 first-down runs. Only four times did one of those runs go for 6 or more yards. 10 times of those 29 first-down runs, they went for 2 yards or less. Where did Wisconsin's vaunted run game go? If I'm going to base things off the first week, and Nebraska held their own against Ohio State's run game, did not have big busts, were able to tackle, were able to clog up the middle, scheme some things differently against Ohio State, where sometimes, well, a good portion of the game, you only had two defensive linemen. I'm thinking Nebraska's going to win that battle. That's a run the ball against Nebraska's rush defense. Right now, I would take Nebraska in that. Last year, Nebraska had success running the football against Wisconsin. Dedrick Mills had his best game at Nebraska running the football last year. Now he's going to have to carry the ball more than 9 times. Do we have the head coach?
Nope, I believe Adrian Martinez is up.
Hey, bring that up for a little bit. Let's hear what the quarterback is saying.
Hi, Adrian. From a layman's point of view, it looked like the kind of the system with you and Luke looked comfortable, and it looked like it occurred within the context of the offense, and it seemed very natural. Was that your assessment? Did it feel natural to you, and why do you think it worked so well?
Yeah, it definitely felt natural. And I'd probably attribute that to multiple things. One being our coaching staff and the way that we practice and practice up to that game. We felt comfortable with that in those scenarios. In addition, Luke and I, I think we really make a great team, and we're going to continue to build on that the rest of the year. You know, we're comfortable with that, and we just want to win at the end of the day.
And last one for Adrian before Coach Frost, Andy Kindy, KETV.
Hey, Adrian, how important is it to take care of Wisconsin? They've been kind of a bugaboo for you guys. I know some of the losses were before your time, but you haven't beaten them and all your teammates have not. How important is it to take care of the Badgers?
Yeah, well, obviously they're a Big Ten West team and a very formidable foe, a top-ranked team, and we're excited. We have a great opportunity, and it's an important game, I think, as any other game in the Big Ten, but this week has a lot of significance for us, and we're going to attack it that way.
All right, so that's the quarterback. The head coach will be coming in here in a little bit, but let's sneak in Kelly while they transition in Lincoln. Kelly, thanks for the call. Welcome to Gary Sharp Show.
Hey, Gary, thanks for taking the call. Hey, I had just a little bit of a different perspective. I know you guys have covered the wide receiver deficiencies and all that stuff, and I'm fully aware of how good Ohio State was for a first game and everything. And I agree that the lines look better than they have, but it really didn't correlate too much, in my opinion, with the outcomes. Ohio State over the last 6 years has beaten us by an average of 53 points, and they've also and they beat us by 52 again. So the outcome's still the same. It's like a couple steps forward and a few steps back. And I just wonder, you know, there weren't fans in the stands at Ohio Stadium, so how much more worse could that have gotten had there been 110,000 fans screaming down on them when things started to snowball? Just kind of a different perspective. You know, going into the game, my buddies and I were talking, and really all I wanted out of it was, can we cover, which is, you know, kind of where we're at this point. Just kind of wondered what your thoughts were on that kind of perspective of how everything went.
No, that's fair, Kelly. I think the one thing that stands out that was, doesn't matter if it was the first game of 2020 or the last game of 2019, the penalties and the turnovers continue to plague Nebraska. That's what I started. It's kind of the mixed emotion of, and Kelly, thanks for the phone call, the mixed emotion of Nebraska played well in certain spots. You could see that investments are starting to show up. But at the end of the day, they lost by 5 touchdowns. We'll see. Kelly's point about no fans, we'll get into in the last hour, but here's the head coach.
To do this?
Yeah, I think everything went as we expected. It wasn't that difficult to go through any of those processes. The weirdest part of the whole thing was no fans in the stadium. That just felt funny. The rest of it felt like a road trip.
And then with the situation at Wisconsin, lots of reports out there about Graham Mertz having a positive test. I mean, how close do you follow that? How much does that change things for you guys throughout the week as you monitor that situation?
I don't think it'll change anything for us. I hope for their sake that he's okay. I hope for his health that he's okay. We've had false positives here too, so my guess is that's what it is. But whether he plays or not, they got a lot of really good players and they're a really good team, and I don't think their offense would probably – change even if he wasn't playing, but he obviously had a good debut, and hope he's doing okay.
24/7 Sports, Brian Christofferson.
Hey, Scott, how do you feel about some of those young guys in your secondary that might be forcing action, especially in the first half? And did you get any clarification regarding Deontay and Cam, or are they going to have to sit?
I don't want to talk about discussions with the officials in the league yet. Waiting to hear back from them again. I don't believe there's a process to appeal that penalty, so I think we're kind of stuck with the outcome of it, whether we agree with it or not. We need to get some young guys involved, not just in the secondary, but in a lot of places. And I think as soon as those guys are ready, we have some guys with some talent to make us a better football team. So all those guys got to grow up, and some of them are going to have to do it this week.
KRNU, Jacob Bartecki.
Hey, Coach. You guys used Luke in some new ways, and especially on the ground, it worked really well for you guys. And I'm just kind of wondering, how much did that factor into the starting quarterback decision? Do you think if you guys listed him as the solid starting quarterback, you kind of would be limiting what you could do with him, mostly in the run game as well?
No, I hadn't even thought about that. So that wasn't a part of the decision, but I'll tell you, anything we ask Luke McCaffrey to do, he's going to be good at.
Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star.
Hi, Coach. It seemed like that quarterback system worked. Like it seemed comfortable. It seemed like it flowed in the context of the offense. To what do you attribute that?
Probably just Sip having two good players that are good people too and that are friends, and think they're both rooting for each other, pulling for each other, and there's a lot of situations where having both of them on the field gives us some of our best players out there. But it's probably just because of the character of those two kids.
How important to you – I mean, I guess it doesn't – they don't have to have a great relationship, but do you regard that as important in this situation?
Probably is important. It probably just makes it easier, more healthy. Both of them deserve to play. That's what I said before. I think you could see that in that game. They both ran hard. They both threw the ball well. They both did things well. So they both deserve to play. And if we can find ways to get them both out there, we will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Drake Keeler, Daily Nebraskan.
Hi, yeah, so I was just wondering what to you was the importance of the team being able to honor George Flippin, the university's first black player on Saturday with the stickers on the helmets, and the importance of just being part of the Big Ten's United as One campaign?
Yeah, obviously, appreciate the question. With a lot of things going on in the country, anything we can do as a football team to be closer together and anything we can do as a football team to be an example, I've said it a bunch of times, but football locker rooms oftentimes are the best places I've ever been, because people come from all different backgrounds, all different races, all different places, and come together, and it doesn't really matter. You're a part of a team. In a lot of ways, I think society should mirror locker rooms when you have good cultures built. I'll be honest, I didn't know much about George Flippin before this year. If you haven't read about him, it's an unbelievable story. It's fascinating, and I encourage our fans to go research that. But you can't honor everybody. You can't do as much as you ever want to do. But honoring him, I think, is a good start.
The Athletic, Mitch Sherman.
Scott, Wisconsin has always been really good at filling holes, whether it's through graduation, injury, whatever, quarterback, running back, all their spots. What do you see? What is it about the style of their program and the way they play that has allowed them to just kind of plug and play the way they have over the years?
Well, obviously, you know, that they do a good job developing. I think they do a good job recruiting. They're good coaches. They know who they are on both sides of the ball. It's probably the biggest factor. I think those kids probably get in the program and they know they need to be tough and physical, and they learn the system on both sides, and they've got a good system on both sides, and they, you know, they wait their turn, and when they get their shot, they're ready to go. And that's where we're trying to get a little bit as a program. You're better when you don't have to rely on a lot of young kids. You're relying on juniors and seniors that have been in the program and know the schemes and have been physically developed, and they're quite a ways down that road, and give them a lot of credit for what they've built up there.
Lincoln Journal Star, Parker Gabriel.
Hey, Scott, the last 2 years against Wisconsin, you've piled up a lot of yards, and it hasn't translated into big point totals in either of those games. And I'm curious, with what you said Saturday about cleaning up little things and not beating yourself, I mean, I guess how important is that? I know it always is, but how much do you think that can unlock at this point in the season in your offense?
It needs to happen. It needs to happen. And that's, you know, if you look at the two Wisconsin games in this past Saturday, our mistakes have kept us from having better performances and keeping the games closer or giving ourselves a chance. Even Saturday, a couple penalties that I may or may not agree with, but a couple penalties that probably were penalties that cost us drives. A fumbled snap, a couple fumbles. we move the ball pretty well, but we need to capitalize on those things. And the two Wisconsin games have been the same way. We move the ball well, but they've done a good job getting stout when they needed to, and we've made some mistakes that we couldn't. When you're playing a good team, you can't make those mistakes. And I think as painful a lesson it was a good lesson for our young kids Saturday. You can't just be pretty good. You got to be really good, and you got to execute really well. And if we clean up some of the mistakes, it's going to give us a better chance.
Is there a common thread with not just Saturday, but going back when your quarterbacks have put the ball on the ground in the run game, or is that sort of a situational? Each one is, you know, caused by a little bit of a different thing.
I don't remember having an issue with that going back. In my offense, somebody's probably going to look at the stats and find out something different. McKenzie, his freshman year, was a little wild with the ball, and I know we turned it over some. It's tough to go live with your quarterbacks, and sometimes you got to get hit to learn how to hold on to the ball. But if we're going to ask our quarterbacks to run like running backs, they need to protect the ball like running backs. And both of them gave one away. One was a scoop score 7, and that really broke the game open. So those things have to get fixed. You can't give good teams breaks like that.
Sam McEwen, Omaha World Herald.
Thanks for doing this, Scott. Your 2019 recruiting class, I remember how excited you were about it, and you really thought it was going to be a good group. On Saturday, that class played a lot of football, not just Luke, but offensive linemen like Piper and Bennett, Newsom in the secondary, Keem Green, a bunch of other guys too. I think there were a lot of people who wondered maybe if they should have played more last year, but you guys stayed patient with that, and it seemed to pay off on Saturday. What do you think about that group now and their readiness to kind of fill into some more of these major roles in your team?
It's that class. It's this past class. I think we've done a good job bringing some talent in here. The Big Ten, and you know this, Sam, the Big Ten, it's hard to play as a freshman in this league. Not that it can't be done, but it's just a big physical league, and it helps you to be a 21 or 22-year-old instead of 18, 19-year-old. So it takes a little while to develop those guys, not just knowing the X's and O's, but physically. But we had a bunch of guys that played a lot for maybe the first time on Saturday. Expect we'll have some more this week out of that 19 class and out of the 20 class. And when those guys are up and ready to go and ready to contribute, we're going to be a better football team.
Was it hard to stay patient last year? Because I'm sure there were moments when you thought, I want to play this guy more than I'm playing him, or I want to throw Bryce Bennett out there for 7 games instead of just 3. How did you kind of manage through that patience, and how do you feel like it paid off at least on Saturday?
Well, we're going to play guys when they're ready to play, and it's been different reasons for a bunch of different guys. Nick Henrys probably would have been ready to help us more last year, but he was injured, and Bryce was learning and probably ready physically, but we just needed to make sure he knew his assignments. And it's a different reason for every guy, but the faster we can speed those along as coaches, the better chance we have of getting those guys on the field earlier and being a better team.
Thanks.
Evan Bland, Omaha World Herald.
Hey, Scott, just curious, how did you see the defensive front 7 hold up just in terms of playing physically, playing good assignment football last weekend? And then how is that task maybe a little bit different for them against Wisconsin, given its style of offense?
I was pretty pleased with it Saturday. We were still missing a couple pieces. We got to get healthy here, but thought we held up in the run game pretty well. Thought we tackled better than we did last year. Thought we held our position at the point of attack better up front against a really good team. I think everybody knows what kind of team Ohio State had last year and this year, and I think we did a better job of that. Quite a few of their yards came on scrambles, which we got to do a better job seeing that and rallying to it. But they're really good at running outside zone, mid zone at Ohio State. Thought we held our gaps pretty well and played those plays really well. Wisconsin's run game is completely different. There's going to be a lot of two backs, multiple tight ends. The fits are tougher, so we got to make sure we're in the right gaps for those kind of plays and not bite too hard on the play actions that they run off them. So it's a different challenge, and hopefully we can get ourselves ready for it.
Kevin Suits, 10-11.
Hey, Scott, on Saturday you talked about the difficulty of your schedule starting with Ohio State and then coming back with Wisconsin in week two. As you look at this week's game, what's the significance, or how can you explain the importance of it as you look at the totality of your season?
It's game two. It's important to me. I want to play well against these guys. They're in our half. I think at some point we're going to have to turn the page and try to beat one of these teams that is really good in our half. Wisconsin's been the best team in the West for a while. Credit to them. But as far as it relates to the entire season, it's game two. We did get a tough schedule, getting the East champion and the West champion out of the gate. I think our team's ready to turn a page and take a giant step, but we got to get some momentum. We got to get some wins, get some energy, have everybody start believing it and knowing we can get it done. And, it's a little bit of a climb when they give us the schedule that we have, but our kids see it as a challenge, and they're going to play hard and do everything they can to try to compete with Wisconsin.
Andrew Ward, KLKN.
Hey, Scott, obviously a lot of like home opener traditions are going to be going away here on Saturday. What are you going to miss specifically about just like the idea of, playing your first game at Memorial Stadium without any fans or the tunnel or without fans in the tunnel lock and all that?
Yeah, I'm going to miss seeing the little kids at the tunnel walk. There's always little boys and little girls at the tunnel walk that have a look on their face. It was probably a lot like the look I had on my face when I came to games in 83 to see the scoring explosion. And that's always special to me. I'm sure we're not going to count this as a break in the sellout streak, because I know if we could have fans in there, we'd sell it out, virus or no virus. But we're going to miss them, and I know the fans are going to miss being there.
Hail Varsity, Derek Peterson.
Hey, Scott. Now that you've had time to look back at game film, how did you guys assess the way the offensive line played?
For the most part, I thought we played really well. I thought we ran it pretty well against a good team. Little inconsistencies there, too. A couple pass protections where we just flat out whiffed. One where kids misread the signal and we left a tight end alone on one of their defensive ends in protection because kids saw the wrong play come from the sideline. But overall, I was pleased, and I think it's something we can build on. I thought Hymus at left tackle played really well, and it was probably the anchor as the veteran there. But guys across the board, I thought, did their job pretty well, and it's definitely something we can build on and keep getting better from.
Greg Austin talked this offseason about wanting to protect Bo Wilson a little bit, put him in a rotation. You guys had him kind of splitting snaps pretty evenly with Ethan Piper. Is that going to continue to be the case going forward? And what do you think of the way Piper played in his debut?
Yeah, we didn't go as fast as we normally did, so there weren't quite as many reps. But when we start playing in games with 80, 90 snaps, I can see us having a rotation that there's several guys that we feel good about putting in there right now. Hickson, Piper, obviously Matt Farniak, Bo Wilson, and even guys behind them. Turner Corcoran came in and did a good job. Will Farniak. So we got a lot of guys that we have trust to be in there. Thought Ethan did really well in his first real duty, and we'll keep guys fresh and ready to play.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, time for two or three more quick ones for Coach. Steve's back to Steve Sippel.
You're a quarterback, and you've paid attention to this stuff for a long time. Can you kind of put into perspective what Mertz did in his first start, going 20 for 21 with 5 touchdown passes? Does that raise your eyebrows? I mean, how do you size that up?
It's hard to do a lot better than that, Sip. I mean, I was watching enough that the one that wasn't complete probably could have been. It's as good a debut as I've heard about. So there are always a dangerous team. We played in Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl, and they had Russell Wilson, and he made them even more dangerous team when they had a real quarterback, an NFL type quarterback. So we gotta be ready for a good player.
Okay. Thank you.
Eric Olson, Associated Press.
Scott, just a quick follow-up from Saturday. Ryan Day said after the game that he apologized for not taking a knee. Did he reach out to you, and did that even bother you?
Nah, I don't want to talk about that. We're focused on Wisconsin. I tell you what, if we want the score to be different, we need to play better. That's the bottom line.
Brian Christofferson, 24/7.
Hey, Scott, do you have an update on Jack Stoll and just if he's out a little bit, how do you feel about the tight ends around him and how they stepped up?
That's one of the positions where we feel like we have some depth. You know, we're still evaluating Jack and going to get him back as fast as we can. But we do feel good about the guys that are at that position, him included.
And last one, Parker Gabriel.
Hey Scott, when you evaluated your wide receiver play on tape, did you think that the blocking, maybe with your receivers and tight ends, was better overall than what you sort of saw as the, you know, average level last year? And how much does that dictate who gets repetitions at the wide receiver position?
We have a saying, no block, no rock. So we want all our guys to block for us and that earn their right to be out there by what they do in the run game, and that'll give them chances to catch some passes. You know, we're better at receiver right now than we have been since I've been here. You know, we came in, Stanley Morgan was a really good player for us, and we've missed him ever since he's left. We gotta keep bringing these newcomers along at that position. I want to see us as like everybody else, want to see us push the ball downfield more, take more shots. We got to get guys downfield faster and more open and back people up a little bit. It'll make it easier on our run game and give us a chance to have some explosive plays. But we have the guys that are capable of doing that, and we got to make sure as coaches we get that done.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That's the head coach, Scott Frost. Lots in there. We'll dive into it. Some stuff about Wisconsin. What Wisconsin has done the last 2 years against Nebraska. I thought the best thing that he said, late he was asked about Ryan Day, who apologized for the late touchdown by Ohio State, said they should have taken a knee. He said he got a little anxious quarterback in there. By the way, on the other end of things, Ohio State fans are upset that Nebraska called a timeout with 3 seconds to go in the game. That's a whole different story. But Frost said on the apology from Ryan Day, if we want the score to be different, we need to play better. I thought that was the best thing he said. A couple other things in there, and the late one about wide receivers. We'll sift through all of that when you return. Last hour of the Gary Sharp Show on a Monday, coming up next.